to make this clear, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are exceptional talents. In order to win, you must incorporate the other 11 guys on the team, and there has to be a balance. When is that balance going to occur? Because you just can't give the ball to one player and say, just go win it for us.
Rick Bucher.
And by the way, these numbers, most of the numbers that we're citing have nothing to do with the defensive end of the floor. And I don't know that James is necessarily any different at that end of the floor to say that we're seeing a different James Harden.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
Welcome to the latest edition of the BJ and Bucher podcast. I am Rick Bucher. He is BJ Armstrong. We took a little hiatus there, holiday hiatus. We didn't know we were going to take one. We just ended up taking one. It's the way it rolls here. Joined by our producer, Shane Freeman. BJ Armstrong is all kinds of fired up this morning. I went back to get a second cup of coffee, and then I realized coffee might not be strong enough. I'm minded.
Four quarters of madness today, Rick. I'm turned up. I ain't even got to turn it up. I'm turned up.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's get right after it and let's hit the first quarter. J.R. Smith, we saw it the other night, decided to go over and give Jason Terry some dap and forgot all about covering his man, Tony Snell. Goes back door and scores on a dunk. Now, clearly, what I saw was a J.R. Smith after the fact when he was asked about it was embarrassed by it. And also I know about J.R. Smith that he has, I can't make fun of it because J.R. Smith has some issues that go beyond just being distracted.
What are those issues? Share with us, what are those issues? I mean, we need to know what the issues are here.
Well, I believe, I don't know if he's been diagnosed as bipolar, but I know that he's been on medication at times.
Okay.
So,
All right. Okay.
So there's some, sir, there, and what I know with him, and I think Meta World Peace has talked about it publicly, like guys feel when they take the medication that keeps them right, it takes something away from them competitively. They feel weird trying to play at the emotional level that you have to play
okay
to be able to do the job. So I don't know in this case if that was a factor, but I know that that has been a case with J.R. Smith in the past. But I'm gonna broaden it for you because we don't know everything about this particular situation with J.R. I'm just wondering if you're a teammate, you've been in that situation, a professional situation like that, and you have a teammate who has a history as J.R. does. Do you just kind of slough that off and say, that's my boy, we live with the good, we live with the bad? Or is there something, is there a line crossed when you just look like you are not paying attention to the job at hand?
Well, first, you know, the professionalism when I first saw the play was unacceptable. Clearly, there are mistakes being made by everyone that participates in the game, players, coaches, referees. But there's some things you can't control. And that's, I felt in viewing that situation that he could control that, you know, that particular situation. Now he was, whatever that was clearly he let the other four people down that was on the court and his teammates down in that situation. The thing that upset me more than that was the interview after the fact. Claim it.
Yeah.
Okay, if you claim it, that was my mistake, that was my bad, whatever it is, and then you move on because clearly, you know, I can't remember specifically what he said.
He didn't remember the play
first. It was just unacceptable. So to me, I was disappointed with the interview afterwards more than the actual play. Like, you got to take that responsibility after the game. That's what I was disappointed with is claiming, hey, man, that was unacceptable. I let my teammates down here, but I'm going to make sure to the best of my ability it's never going to happen again. We move on. But when you start making excuses that he made, now all of a sudden you bring attention to the situation. And now the coaches and your teammates got to answer to something that they weren't even part of. So I was just disappointed in the interview afterwards.
He said, I didn't know that I was in the game.
Right. Wait a minute. You're all the way on the other end of the bench.
Exactly.
you're on the other end of the bench with no warm-ups on or anything. That's what I was disappointed in. Claim it.
Right.
Claim it.
I agree. What amazes me is that he has a championship ring. Like, this guy has had the focus and tenacity to be part of a championship equation. And as you know, like, playing for a championship, that pressure is going to find your weakest link. It's going to expose any flaws that you have. That's what surprised me. Let's move on to topic two. One near and dear to our heart with Draymond Green, for full disclosure, a client of yours, lives in the Bay Area. Not right next to me, but I see a lot of Draymond. And he once again had his version of the Rockettes. Everybody thought he was celebrating the holidays.
Hey, man, leave my man alone, man.
Actually, what troubles me, and obviously it troubles Draymond Green, because after he received a flagrant one penalty for a kick that ended up landing in James Harden's face, going for a rebound, he was assessed after the fact a flagrant one. And he then tweeted out "Mark," which I assume that's the second time he's tweeted it out. And the inference is that the referees now have it out for him. We obviously know a lot of incidents last year, several incidents last year, in which a flying foot by Draymond Green ended up in the wrong place, and he was penalized accordingly. I don't know about you, BJ. When I looked at this particular situation, that anybody would think that it was intentional is beyond me. And they said they defined it as an abnormal or unusual leg extension.
You know, as an ex-player, it's impossible to control body parts and things that are moving around, especially how fast the action is going. Reggie Miller intentionally was kicking out his leg every time he shot, which mm-hmm. made you very aware. You were very careful to close out on him because he might kick you and trip you.
Yeah.
And then you get called a foul. Now, this was before replay and all these things. There were two referees at the time. So there are a lot of things that people were doing. James Harden, who's having a terrific season, he has a move that's so unusual, it makes me sick, because the league can't tell me that that's how you shoot the ball. Him and that kid that plays for the Lakers, Lou Williams. If you hold your hand out defensively, like we were all taught in third grade,
right,
when you first start
right.
playing defense, he comes up right. under, shoots, and then you get called a foul.
Right.
He does this frequently. He's mastered it now. Now you're afraid to even put your hands in front of James Harden because he comes up under your hand, gets the contact, and then they call a free throw, and then they call a foul on you. That's an illegal move.
Well, how's it illegal?
It's illegal because I have a right to have my hand there. I have right. a right to do that. It's an illegal move, but it's in that gray, shady area.
Right. Well, see, but that's why it's not illegal. Now, here's the problem. They as I see it, they're saying that what Draymond's doing is not a basketball play. They have a lot of things where they say it's not a basketball play. To me, that type of shot is not a basketball play. That's not a basketball shot.
I would respect that if basketball people were making basketball decisions. Don't give me these analytical guys who are telling me what a yep. basketball play is. Now, they have replays and they still can't get it right. They got three referees right. and still can't get it right. So when they start telling me what's a basketball play by their definition, and they're making up the rules, how all of a sudden this year we got a Draymond Green rule? They're just making yep. this up as they go along.
You think he's a marked man?
I don't have to think yep. about it. What they're trying to do is define something they don't know anything about. Just ask basketball people about it.
But they're not concerned. They're not concerned about the basketball image. They're concerned about, I believe, they're concerned about the optics when it comes to the
public. They're concerned about what I call commercialism, cupcake basketball. You got all this friendly stuff going on, and as soon as the men come out and start competing, then everybody want to reel it in and start having it a friendly game so everybody can talk about how many threes we're shooting. No, let's go play basketball. If I felt somebody kicked me before all these rules came in the game, I handled that business. I didn't go complaining to the official. I didn't call David Stern and tell David Stern what happened, or Kiki Vandeweghe. I handled my business. So let's let the men handle the business. I didn't see James Harden have a problem with it. The players know. Let the players wrap it up. I played against the Detroit Pistons when referees was telling me, don't drive the lane because you might get hurt. I didn't see the commissioner calling me saying, BJ, hey, don't go in the lane. You know what I had to do? I had to learn how to stop and pop. I had to learn how to have a pull-up game. So I right. didn't get hurt.
I have a solution, and it's in the second quarter.
All right.
All right, so Warriors coach Steve Kerr, I didn't think he'd be the first one out, but Steve Kerr has admitted to a local outlet here in the Bay Area that he has smoked medical marijuana twice in the last 18 months to cope with chronic back pain issues. Now, this isn't just even normal back pain, if I understand it correctly. He's had surgery on his back. He's had spinal fluid leaking into his system. I mean, he's had some grave, grave issues that he's been dealing with for the last year and then some. And he wasn't sure when he admitted it that whether he was going to get in trouble with the NBA for it, but he felt that the league
should be more accepting. Is there a rule? Why is he going to get in trouble? Is there a rule?
Certainly there's a rule against the use of marijuana. Now, is there the rule against medical marijuana? It hasn't been defined in the collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know,
is Steve Kerr, as a coach, is he under the collective bargaining? What's he under? You know, because
that's a great question. You know what? Technically, he's
exactly
not.
That's what I'm saying. So I want to, again, we're making up all of this as we go along. So much respect to Steve Kerr. Much respect.
So how do you personally feel about the use of medical marijuana or marijuana in general, as opposed to alcohol? The distinction that's obviously made in our society, and as a result in sport, how we view the two, because going out and having a few pops is not illegal. Having more than that in the privacy of your home or whatever is not illegal. If you're caught with possession of marijuana, it's a different story depending on the state that you live in.
Well, first, I want to get back to the beginning of this subject. Is Steve Kerr is a breath of fresh air for me because of his honesty and the way he speaks, and more importantly, the way he expresses himself. And when you have a medical condition, back or what have you, is Steve is, him and I have been friends for many years. At some point, my understanding and speaking with him and just reading about it, he was in a very dark place. And with his back, I think it's been well documented the problems he's had. And you begin to seek questions and seek answers and do the best that you can to relieve whatever type of discomfort you have. I'm no doctor, but I have to, as a player, I was very aware of all the things that were prescribed, the prescription drug. And I questioned that. Oh, just take this, you'll feel better. Well, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's prescribed by a doctor. It's okay.
This is the Detroit side of me. I question everything. So why am I putting this stuff into my body, which is masking? There's a reason my calf is hurting. Well, if you take this, you'll feel better. Well, no. What is it? What is it doing? What is it going long term? Well, don't worry about it. I should worry about it because you can't tell me that these players aren't playing, whatever sport, basketball, football, tennis, they're playing with injuries they probably shouldn't be playing with. But then if you get injured, and you know, we're all tough guys, Rick, we're all tough. You gotta fight through it. No pain, however it goes.
But here's the other part, though. I mean, because some guys, they're looking at I want to play or I want to keep my job.
Okay, I want to play, but your body has limitations.
Understood.
So why are guys playing through all of these injuries when they really shouldn't be playing? Because we know long term that these guys shouldn't be playing. We know it.
Right.
We know the effects of it. We have the data. These leagues have the data of concussions. They have the data of playing 82 games. Look at all the former players, Rick. They got hip surgeries, multiple knee surgeries. They can't move. So why do these players feel the need to damage their bodies to this degree? To have to go out there and play.
I believe that it is part of the American psyche, and it has to do with the money that is being made, right or wrong, the money that is being made in the perception of the public by guys who are playing a game. You're getting paid millions to play a game. And so the perception is it's the trade-off. Yes, they're doing damage. Yes, they can't walk when they're 40 years old, but they made millions of dollars, and me, Joe Fan out there,
I deserve
I'm not making
that.
Millions of dollars.
I deserve that. So we can't walk, we can't talk, we can't do anything after 40, and God forbid that you think about your life after 40, because you owe me the fan. Come on, man. the bigger issue for me is Steve Kerr is, to me, what he was doing was just taking a long-term approach. I need to do something that's going to relieve me of the symptoms and things that I have long-term. Why do these players all feel the pressure to have to go above and beyond what we know the limitations of the body is? Why?
Right.
You know why? It's because of the money. It's because of the greed. Sure. I don't see the owners out there playing. Call it what it is. Sport means you go out there and you compete. I don't see these guys out here willingly going out here. They're going out here because what you said. Well, you're getting paid enough. You better go out here. That's basically what they're saying. That's basically what it is. It's entertainment. Call it what it is. Don't call it a sport. This is not sport. Call it what it is.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. You're going to get people that are working in the mine, that are working in physical labor jobs, and are saying, and I don't get paid millions of dollars. I'm just telling you, that's the mentality of some fans out there.
Rick, I don't care if it's a dollar or 2 cents. If you are hurt and it's going to affect you long term, I don't care how much money you get. You can't justify something through money. I'm just going to damage my back because I'm getting paid enough to do it. Wait a minute. We're talking about your health.
I understand.
What I'm saying is you should have a choice.
No. An ideal world, your team and your organization should protect you from yourself. Because let's face it, when we're all 19, 20, 21, 22, we think we're invincible. We think we can play through stuff. We want to play through stuff.
Exactly. So you can't tell me that all those guys who go out there every Sunday, we, the adults, can't collect the data to say,
no,
maybe
we don't
this
want
is
to.
Not a good idea.
Well, they don't want to because that's going to undermine the money-making process.
It undermines the fantasy football money being made and all that other stuff, too.
Exactly. So now let's call it what it is. It's a money-making proposition. It's a money-making proposition at the expense of the people who are performing, and we justify it by saying how much money he gets. I got my biggest issue is with the people who cover the sports, because they again are in the media and they exploit the ignorance of the people who don't know what these players go through, and they exploit what these athletes go through because these athletes want to play, but they got a life too, and they deserve to have a life. And those media people.
It's not all the media. but all it takes is one.
They're the one.
It's your fault, Rick.
I'm putting it where it's supposed to be, the media people. That's why I came to the media, because the media people, the media people are the ones who be exploiting these players, and then they make them like, oh, God, this guy is soft. This guy, no, this is the same guy who never even plays sports. How he know? How does this guy know? And they be the first one to criticize every guy, and then they back it up with them and then the analytics stuff.
Well,
so I want to know how they get away with that for years. I'm turned up today. I told you I was turned up before the show started.
We are, there's an expression, smoke them if you got them. Not that we're condoning doing anything illegal, but as fired up as BJ, if you need to take the edge off, go ahead, and we're going to provide a little halftime entertainment.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, this is Shane. This is the Halftime Break on the BJ and Bucher podcast. And today we're going to play the Loonies. I got five on it, which seems to be a mainstay in most stadiums, but in honor of Coach Kerr, and it doesn't help hurt that these guys are actually from the Bay Area, too. So here you go.
Give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that likes to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S-T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So fast across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. And some wrap my lips around the phony. And when it comes to getting another stogie, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Homie ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to beat. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy $5 bill on the reel before it's history. The fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them hit it for free, you hella dumb. Da-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homies nag me to take the dank out of the bag.
Got it, got it. Got your four. Let's get keys. I got
I'm so keyed up. Till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow. So the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees can hit, but they know they
It's time for the third quarter, and you know what that means. It's time for the test of our trivia knowledge. And I don't like the fact that we took a hiatus at a point where I had lost. So for 2 weeks, we have had a GIF meme out there that has me getting knocked the F out.
Knock him out the box, Rick.
We're about to change that.
Knock him out, Rick.
Are you ready, BJ?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready, Rick. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. In 2013, which player had an Adidas logo cut into his hair, which violated the NBA's ban on players wearing commercial logos that are not on their shoes? Here are the choices. Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P. Ben McLemore of the Sacramento King. Iman Shumpert of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Or Shabazz Muhammad.
I'm going to say Iman Shumpert because he be doing some crazy things with his hair. But what do I know?
You know a lot. Because that is correct.
So hold up. As an agent now, let the agent talk for a minute. I don't mean to mess up this. What's the rule again on that? So what did they say again?
Any logo outside of your shoe, you cannot wear. You cannot wear a logo or a
brand. But let me get this right. But the league can negotiate with those shoe companies for their benefit.
Right.
But
for the jerseys, for the
yeah,
right,
but Adidas, but yeah, I was gonna say, but Adidas is a partner of the NBA, so it was a conflict of interest in a sense because you have a player who's promoting something outside of the league contract with Adidas. Mm. That was the issue.
Interesting. There we go again.
Well, the question is, was Iman getting paid?
Well,
for that
the question
logo?
Is, I'm cool. The bigger question is, you know, I was reading recently where David Stern said, you know, the players' rights can only extend to the collective bargaining agreement. Why wasn't that negotiated in the bargaining? Because clearly we're not under the Constitution like everybody else.
This is what I don't understand, because we've been hearing it, and I believe it to be true now, that we are going to get a new collective bargaining agreement here in a week or so. And considering where the last collective bargaining agreement went, unless the players are making great gains going the other way, then they are getting short shrifted, because the cry of poverty that the owners made to get the last collective bargaining agreement has been proved otherwise 15 times over. And so I am alarmed. And this is where I will agree with you. When it comes to the media, when it comes to my brethren, everybody's going along. Isn't it great? We have labor peace. We have labor peace. Isn't it great that they can... Wait a minute. Let's look at the deal. Let's look at whether it's a fair deal before we start talking about how great it is that we don't have any sort of bump in the road, or that we have both sides coming to terms.
Well, I'm going to say that. Let's get this great deal that they're talking about to a real labor lawyers. And then let's see how great of a deal it really is. Let's look at the fine print. So I'm not buying that. But let's go to two. These two types of shoes are banned by the NBA. Now, you have to get both of them right. A, flip-flops. B, Timberland boot. C, Air Jordan 1. D, Gucci loafers.
I'm going to say flip-flops and Timberland boot.
Timberland boot. Air Jordans.
Air Jordan 1s?
Air Jordan 1s.
Why?
Because, you know, they didn't... Technically, again, they made it up as they're going along. They don't have enough of the...
Of one color?
It has to have a surface of like... I think it has to be either all white or all black, right?
Oh, so, that was once upon a time. Yeah, that doesn't apply now.
No, not now. But it's still in effect, though. You still can't wear Air Jordan 1s.
You gonna
is
take
that
this,
right?
You're going to take this
You still
L,
can't
though.
Wear Air Jordan 1s.
You still can't wear
you
them,
still
nope.
Can, yeah.
Wow.
But you're going to take this L, though. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, give me this third one so I can knock you out, and then we don't even have to go to the fourth one.
You know what? You always talk about Shane giving you the hard questions. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This player received the largest suspension ever handed down by the league. Was it Ron Artest, Latrell Sprewell, Gilbert Arenas, or Javaris Crittenden? Who, for those who might not be aware, Javaris Crittenden was the one who was involved with Gilbert Arenas in the Washington Wizards gunplay, and I believe is incarcerated at the moment.
Oh, Ron Artest, the Trail Spree World, Gilbert Arenas.
Yes, Ron Artest obviously was involved in the Malice of the Palace, and Latrell Sprewell choked P.J. Carlesimo.
The largest suspension, right? Not the largest fine, correct?
Largest suspension. This is a distinction from a previous trivia question. Shane getting down and dirty on us.
Ooh, a largest suspension. I have no idea. I'm just going to say Jarvis Crittenden. I have no idea.
Okay. And answer is Ron Artest, who was suspended 73 regular season games and 13 playoff games, totaling 86 games for inciting the Malice at the Palace. I would say that the dude who threw the cup was the one who incited the riot. But that's just me.
I would,
that's
too.
That's just me. Latrell Sprewell had to be second on that. He came pretty close. Although, here's the question. I believe, who do we have? We have O.J. Mayo, who is suspended for life. Wouldn't that count as being the largest suspension ever?
Not necessarily suspension, because okay. He's banned.
I'm just looking. If it was, let's just put it this way. If you had asked me the question and I got it wrong, I would have brought that up as a way to protest the result. Yes,
as a technicality.
Exactly. Working on a technicality. Let me see if I can tie this up. Unless you're going to ask me what kind of hair twists you're allowed to wear in the NBA.
But where would Draymond Green fit into this then? How do you think Draymond Green's suspension would be if it was him that ran up in the stands?
At this point?
That's my question. Because they treat people so differently, man.
It's true.
They treat people so differently on this stuff. Well, Ron got it because everybody knew he was Ron. If that was somebody else who was a little more popular, a little more likable, like if Kobe would have did it, it wouldn't have been that kind of suspension.
Yeah. Our boy Steven Jackson going and helping him out in the stands
didn't
really do anything for anybody either.
That made it worse.
Yeah. And then the visual of Jermaine O'Neal squaring off with a fan
on the court.
The visual. No, actually, the Malice of the Palace did have a profound effect on all of this stuff that David Stern implemented. It was, I don't want to see that. That was the most profound change in how the league operates. And I would say what's going on with Draymond right now is a byproduct of that. All right, what do you got for me, BJ?
Before O.J. Mayo and Donald Sterling were banned from the league, this guy was the last person to get the boot from the NBA. A, Chris Washburn. B, Roy Tarpley. C, Richard Dumas. D, John Drew.
Ooh. Now here's the question, because Dumas is more recent than Roy Tarpley. Are we saying that all four of these have been banned for life?
Every last one of them.
Then I'm going to say Dumas.
That is correct.
Because my only, okay, well, I took it. I'm taking the W and I'm moving on. We need a tiebreaker.
All right, cool. So Jeopardy rules again, fellas. All right, first person that answers correctly.
I lose in this segment. I'm not an overtime guy, clearly.
So here's the deal. Which player protested the league's ban on wearing chains and pendants, citing that the rule was racist since the primary people who wore those items were young black men?
Okay.
Was it Allen Iverson, Steven Jackson, Latrell Sprewell, or Kobe Bryant?
I'll just say Allen Iverson.
And I will say, so it was Kobe, Stack Jack, Allen, and Spree. This is a good one.
I don't even remember this.
See, part of this, remember they scrubbed Allen Iverson? He was at his tats and everything off. They put him on the cover of Philadelphia 76ers magazine and they
right.
And they airbrushed all the tats and everything out. That was a big issue. Boy, I am going to, so you're saying
I'm saying Allen Iverson.
You're saying Allen Iverson. I am going to say Steven Jackson.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it. Steven Jackson was actually pissed off that the league had said this. And yes. They did, like, it went on for about 2 months.
Really?
Like, mm-hmm. Literally for two mm-hmm. months. Mm-hmm. Man, Steven Jackson was really, really upset about this.
You know who's not upset?
This guy! This guy's not upset.
Oh, he should be.
I got a beautiful meme.
Shane,
I got a beautiful meme.
Baby. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to tweet it out. Oh, it's a good day. It didn't start out as a good day, but it's a good day now. Let's move to the fourth quarter.
Listen, maybe I'm old school. But I'm never going to like that little girly basketball where you have to outscore.
All right, it's the fourth quarter. This is the opportunity, if we don't have a guest, for us just to go wherever we want to go. And today we wanted to talk about Charles Barkley and his comment about the Warrior style. It's no secret that Charles has been very critical of the way that the Warriors play basketball, does not believe that their style of basketball is a championship caliber or wins championships. And the other night he referred to it as girly basketball. Now, you have not one, but I believe two clients in JaVale McGee and Draymond Green, both of whom play for the Golden State Warriors. But let's back it off that you have specific guys involved in here that are being accused of it. How do you just feel about the whole suggestion or even use of the term girly basketball?
Well, clearly we live in a different era than we did now, especially coming off this presidential election. So
you probably at one time said somebody played girly basketball, right?
Absolutely, in my youth, I did. But now that I am awake and I'm aware, things have changed. So I'm very compassionate.
And you
and
have,
a daughter.
Yeah, that changes the game.
That changes the dynamic. Let's not ignore that.
That's a game changer, right? My thing is, what is Charles talking about? what are we trying to accomplish here by saying it's girly? What does that mean? Because the game has changed, the rules have changed, the arenas have changed, the players have changed, and Charles there is just stuck. He's stuck in some era that is no longer being played. So what brand of basketball is he referring to? Because this is how the game is played. This is how the game is coached. This is how it's scouted. This is how it's taught. So what game is he referring to that's girly? Because clearly this is the game of basketball today, and this is how it has evolved over the years.
Only he can truly answer that. To me, it's almost pointless to discuss this. Girly basketball is an inappropriate phrase or description in this day and age. So I want to go to this, though. Do you believe that the Warriors are a less physical team this year than they were, let's say, in the previous 2 years as a result of the changes in their roster?
When I look at their team, they only have one physical player that I've seen over the years.
And that's Draymond Green.
Where's up?
Andrew, you wouldn't say Andrew Bogut was. Andrew Bogut, I don't think he was everything that he's been made out to be.
Let me say this.
He was a physical presence, was he not?
Well, because he was 7 feet tall?
No, because he'd bump and grind a little bit. I mean, look.
Wait a minute, he wouldn't be there for the fight. Hold on. When it got time to bump and grind in the finals 2 years ago,
let me
share something with the listeners. When it's winning time, all these things that we go through during the regular season, this guy brings this. These coaches, when this comes down to winning and losing, these coaches are going to put the five most competitive people on the floor who are going to fight. And when it got to that time with the Golden State Warriors,
Andrew Bogut was nowhere to be found.
No disrespect to Andrew Bogut. He went to the smallest lineup, what he called it, his death lineup, whatever you call it. And every time I see the lineup, the only one I see fighting on the entire Warriors team is Draymond Green.
Well, let's put it this way. He's fighting at a different level.
Draymond Green is about the struggle. The competitive spirit that young man brings to the game translates over any era. So
what does it say?
And
to you?
I know this about this. He will guard Charles Barkley. He guard Charles Barkley. Then he'll guard Charles Barkley. Now I played against these guys. So what part of the toughness were they doing that I just didn't see?
What is it though? What does it say to you though that Draymond Green plays that way? Charles Barkley has his criticism of the game being played another way, and yet Draymond Green is the one who's being targeted and being adjudicated as if what he's doing is illegal and out of bounds.
Every rule that has been changed in the game has been brought about to transform the visual perception of the game of basketball. They ain't done nothing to improve the game. They ain't done nothing to improve the game. Charles is on television every night with TNT. All those people on the rules committee, talk to them. Talk to those people. Because I am 100% sure this, the players will adapt. The players will adapt. And the players will push the envelope to the end to wherever those rules say. They're going to toe that line. So why aren't we criticizing the people in charge? So, it's easy. We can pick on the players. So we get on, I can get on and start saying, oh, the players are this, players are soft. No, players ain't soft. Players ain't soft. Right. You know what's soft? Is the people in charge. Because the people in charge don't understand the mentality of the people that's actually down there on the field that's playing. So if we really want to get to the core of this, let's criticize those people. They made the rules.
BJ, you know why that's not
happening. Exactly, I know why it's going to happen.
Why
is Charles talking then? Don't talk. There's nothing to say. Right. Don't criticize.
He's making
money. So now we exposing the game. We going to expose the game. So now who's soft? So we ain't going to tell the truth. We just going to tell it for the money. No, I'm telling the truth. The game is not soft. The players are not soft. But the people making the rules, they soft.
Well, first of all, the global players, if you watch the Summer Olympics, even the players overseas, they play tougher than the NBA because the rules are freer. So if they go global, then how are they going to handle those guys being
when
physical?
When I go scout European basketball, it's more physical. The physicality in that game is more than the NBA game.
Because there's a check.
Because they want a game that everybody can watch and it's non-threatening.
Because those guys, will adjust. The players will adjust. The reality is you also don't see all of that. I guarantee you that if there were cameras, if there was global TV presence in the international game, it would change too. Because we try to make this, and we've talked about this before. We always want to pull back the curtain. We want to really see what it's like. And then we see it. And like people are like, I didn't know it was like that. And instead of just saying, yeah, that's what it's like. So get used to it. We go, are you offended? Do you not want to see? Are we worried that you won't watch? You know what? Let's dumb it down.
Exactly.
Let's make it easier, softer. Let's make it more acceptable to you.
Yeah.
You know what I want to accept? I want to accept, on behalf of whoever won, the tickets to the Cavs-Knicks game that you so graciously offered out there. Is this something we're going to do on a regular basis? This was news to
me. Absolutely.
This is good stuff. So who's our winner?
Benji at Benjamin6Button. Please do.
What the hell? Is that? That's like your code name.
That's his name.
You won.
That's who won him. That's who won him. He'll be attending the game on December 7th. Please DM me, DM us, and enjoy the game.
And I'm just kidding. It's not really Ben. It's not really BJ giving himself.
No,
the
it's
ticket.
Not me.
It sounds really.
But
suspicious.
This is something we're going to do. You know, we want the people to get out and enjoy the game. We want to get the real people to enjoy the game.
And you know what? And we're not giving you like Milwaukee or Orlando.
No, we're giving them.
We're giving you Cavs Knicks. We're giving you the real. You know,
that's big tickets.
Big tickets, right there.
Big tickets. Yes.
BJ, you're going to have to follow Benji, man, in order
Absolutely.
For him to DM you.
Well, we'll get him on. We'll get it taken care of. But just send us a pick at the game. You know, let us know how we doing it. Because, we're going to talk our stuff over here. And I appreciate it. Let's get this turned up. It's four quarters of madness. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it going. Shane. By the way, can you get a memo to Lindsay to follow him? Because you know that BJ's not working that out. You just know.
That's done already.
And maybe next week we'll get back to somebody like just taking off to Hawaii on vacation and then getting mad at us because we didn't get the podcast done. Maybe next week we can get to that and I can get turned up. But in the meantime, if you are listening from iTunes, be sure to subscribe to the show. I'm not kidding. Rate and leave a review because we want to hear what you think about the show. You can also check out the brand new website. Make sure you're not missing anything. We're gonna have other stuff coming down the line. Certainly don't want you to miss the opportunity to win tickets. It's bjandbuker.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at bjandbuker. Beach, Shane, so good to be with you again. I was having withdrawals. I'm sated. I'll talk to you again next week.
Later.